The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light that all might believe through him. John himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" John confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." Then they asked John, "What then? Are you Elijah?" John said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" John answered, "No." Then they said to John, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John said, "I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked John, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In preparation for today's sermon, I did some research this week. It was difficult research. I went throughout the community, to our shopping malls, to restaurants, stores, and I struck up conversations with people. Now, in and of itself, that's not very unusual for me, but I did something different this time. I asked people, instead of just kind of easing into conversations, talking about the weather, the riders, how busy the malls are, just kind of chit-chat, I asked people the pointed question. I said, "Tell me about yourself." They kind of put back on their heels a little bit. They hummed and hawed. Some would say, "Well, there's not very much to say." Some would change the subject. Some would kind of give a stare. But I kind of pushed the issue. I'd say, tell me about yourself. Who are you? After some more thinking, humming and hawing, they would usually begin telling me about themselves by using a declarative first sentence. They would say, "I am a teacher." Or they would say, "I am retired." Or they would say, "I am a grandfather." Or, "I am a farmer." Or some would say, "I'm not sure what I do." Very much of our lives is tied up in what we do. In fact, so much of our lives is tied up in what we do, it often becomes us. We learn to dress a certain way, given our profession. We learn to live a certain way, given our profession. We learn what's expected of us, given our profession. We fit nicely into a box. We expect certain things out of school teachers. We expect certain things out of doctors and nurses and pharmacists and farmers and, yes, ministers. We are to act, talk, and dress a certain way. Now, it's not codified in the law anywhere. It's not found in the Criminal Code of Canada, but we know. Here is how we are to act, how to live, how to fit into the world. This is our place. Today we have John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is someone that no one knows what to make out of. He wears this hair shirt made of camel's hair. He has a big leather belt cinched around him. He seems to have no real friends. He lives up in the forests of the mountains. He eats locusts and honey. And he has a sharp word for those that come to hear him. He calls the Pharisees a brood of vipers. He tells others to repent, and he baptizes in the River Jordan. So we're told that the brain trust in Jerusalem sent people to go and question John. Figure out who this guy is. Is he Elijah? Is he the Messiah? Is he a great prophet? Go ask him these questions. Bring us back the answers so we can put John into a box. What can we expect from him? If he says he's a prophet, we know how to argue with him. We will use the words of Scripture. If he says he's the Messiah, we know how to discredit him. If he says that he is Elijah, returned from heaven, we know what things to look for. Go find out who this John is. So those sent from Jerusalem go to John and say, "Who are you?" And John basically says, "I'm nobody. I am someone who has come to prepare the way for somebody. And that somebody is the Messiah, is the prophet, is the coming of God's kingdom." But what does this have to do with ourselves and our careers, our jobs, about how we see ourselves? John could not easily be pigeonholed. And if you look at the first sentence of today's reading, it gives a lot of insight. It says, "There was a man sent by God whose name was John." We fill in the rest, the Baptist. It doesn't say, "There was a farmer who was sent from God. There was a secretary who was sent from God. There was a physician, a teacher, a student." Nope, there was a man sent from God. There is no expectation of who John is. There is no expectation of his education. There is no expectation of his finances. There is no expectation of his authority or influence. He is a man sent by God. Imagine if that's how we saw ourselves in the world. There was a man sent by God and his name was Bill. There was a woman sent by God and her name was Trina. Think about how freeing that is. The world puts us in boxes. I know my calling and my career path. I know what things I can aspire to in life. I know what my salary is, and I know what's the best I can hope for. This is my life as a minister. Your life is no different. You know what the best you can hope for is. Or so the world tells you. The world tells you when you should be satisfied, when you should be happy. The world tells you when you should retire. The world tells you how much you should save. The world tells you how many weeks of holidays you should be pleased with. The world tells you what to buy, when to get eye exams, when to buy new shoes, when to put snow tires on your vehicle. And the box closes in tighter and tighter. How do we measure life? 100 years. That's a good life. Why? Because the world tells us. If you had 100 years, you're lucky. Really? So much of our lives is based on who we think we are. And so much of who we think we are is based on the position or the status that we hold. And we covet these things because we like the boxes they put us in. It gives us comfort and security and safety. We know what tomorrow is going to look like. We know what things that we should aspire to. We know what goals we should set for ourselves. We know what is attainable. But in the process, do we realize what we're missing out on? The gospel tells us with God, all things are possible. We read stories in church of miracles, of healings and restorations and forgiveness and all sorts of things. But do we open ourselves up to those possibilities? Do we step outside of the box? As I sit with people, and they have a diagnosis of cancer, heart disease, whatever it may be, one of the first questions they ask the doctor, Because the first question their friends and family will ask them is, how long do you have? Think about that box. How long do you have to live? All of a sudden, because I have pancreatic cancer. All of a sudden, because I have heart disease. All of a sudden, because I have, you fill it in, I now have only so long to live. 6 months? 8 months? 12 months? Here's a note for you, my friends. We're all on a ticking clock. All of you can ask yourselves the same question, whether you have a bad x-ray, MRI, or CT scan in your history. How long do you have to live? But that's not a question we go around asking one another, is it? Laura Lee, how long do you have to live? Mark, how long do you have to live? We put ourselves into boxes. And all of a sudden we lose freedom. We think we gain security. We think we gain some kind of support. We think we gain some kind of peace. But the reality is, when we put ourselves in the boxes and we say we can only go this far in life, the best a farmer can attain is X. The best a teacher can do is Y. The best a pastor can appreciate is Z. Whatever it may be. We've really left God out of the picture. We've closed ourselves off to the possibility of the Spirit. We are living in the dark where there is no light for miracles. Because we've already decided what the possible is. And we close ourselves off. There was a man sent by God, and his name was John. Imagine if you saw your life in those terms. I can't even get my head fully around it. To live a life saying myself, I am sent by God into every situation I walk into. Every kitchen table, every hospital room, when I'm paying for gas at the service station, I am there sent by God. God's feet, God's hands, the Word of God, all things that we all possess. Just the same as John. Our mission and calling as Christians is the same as John's, to testify to the light. And the light is Jesus Christ. We come to the Advent season, the world puts us in a box and says, this is Christmas. Santa Claus and candy canes and reindeers and mangers and shepherds. But no. The Christmas miracle for us as people of the resurrection, with the empty tomb, with the beaten cross, is not that Christ came. It's that Christ is coming again. To set things right. To bring that peace, that day of peace and victory that Isaiah talks about today. To see the world without poverty. Without hunger and injustice and war. To bring the new heaven and new Jerusalem into being. That's the Christmas miracle. Not that Christ came, but that Christ is coming again. A baby born in a manger 2,000 years ago. That's not the miracle. Billions of children have been born in these last 2,000 years. That in and of itself does not make it a miracle. It's only the knowledge that the tomb is empty, that death has been defeated, that God lives and that Christ will come again, that makes that event historic. That makes that event praiseworthy. But our real focus as Christians is the future. Our future with God. Our future in a creation that is not limited by title. A future that does not say to us, you can only go so far in life. You're only so smart. Your family is only so wealthy. Your abilities are only so good. Your status is only so high. You name it. Those are all products of sin. Because those things hold you down from experiencing the glory that God intended for us. We are intended to be people of God, sent by God, living with God. The darkness of the world says, here's your life. Enjoy it. You can mess with the margins a little bit. Maybe enjoy a vacation in the wintertime, but that's as good as you're going to get. Is it? Is that really as good as life gets? I don't think so. There's no miracle in that. That's just controlled order. That's just saving. That's just working hard. That's just nose to the grindstone. What pulls us out of that? The Word of God. The Word of God takes 6 months to live and turns it into 12. The Word of God gives us forgiveness. The Word of God gives us hope. The Word of God gives us guidance. And we are to take all of these things and, like that mirror that I held earlier, reflect them to others, to see ourselves as a person sent by God. To break down the barriers of the world, the box that we find ourselves in, and say, you don't have to be stuck there. You are free. You do not need to be judged by the job you hold. You do not need to be judged by the degrees or accreditations on your wall. You do not need to be judged by the neighborhood you live in, the vehicle you drive, or how handsome or pretty you think you are. Because the minute you say, I'm a carpenter, I'm a farmer, I'm a teacher, the minute those declarative things define who you are, you're allowing the world to judge you. What we do is not who we are. We can separate these two things. The food that we like is not who we are. The sports teams we cheer for are not who we are. The hobbies that we enjoy are not who we are. We are called and sent by God to go into the world and proclaim this message, that we testify to the light. And our mission is the same as John's who gone before us, to make straight the path, because Christ is coming again. Just as Christ waded into the Jordan River and John saw His glory, the baptism happened, the dove descended from heaven and said, this is My Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And then John fades away, and the ministry of Christ takes hold. Our job, our calling, our ministry is the same. To bring people to the River Jordan, to introduce them to baptism and to God, and to let God's voice beckon down and to fade away. This is our calling. This is the Christmas miracle. Not that God came into the world, but that God is coming into the world. So we don't have to be defined by the world. So we don't have to be people of the world. The first chapter of John says, Jesus Christ, Son of God, came into the world, but the world did not know Him. And as we see on the cross, the world rejected Him. The world scorned Him. And as we see in the empty tomb, the world could not contain Him. We live by different standards. We have been freed from the shackles of the world. Freed to dream impossible dreams. To hope for miracles. To pray, knowing that God hears. This is good news. This is the news that we take when we see ourselves as a woman sent by God, as a man sent by God, as a people sent by God, always sending, always going out, and always reflecting. We do not have to live in boxes. We do not have to be confined to our cages. We do not have to find happiness in our things. We are called to live in Christ. Amen.